We're on with Angie Capel, Vice President of the Foreign Exchange at Associated Bank. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to focus our conversation a little bit on a couple of things this morning. First, the economy, the world economy. There have been a couple of different outlooks recently, one by the International Monetary Fund that says growth will continue globally. Are you on the same page?
I am on the same page, yes. Like you mentioned, IMF forecasted the growth for this year. We want to look maybe at different areas, like for example, the United States is definitely, it's the largest economy in the world, and it's seen as a driver of the global economy, along with Mexico. Mexico and the United States are tied really closely together with a lot of the nearshoring that has happened here in the last few years. Other areas are forecast to grow, maybe not as much as the U.S. and Mexico, but it looks like everything is still moving forward.
The IMF forecasting a growth of 2.9% global growth this year, faster than it was forecasting about 2.5%. Talk to us a little bit about the things that might be fueling this. I mean, inflation's still a problem around the world. It's getting a little bit better in a lot of countries. Here in the U.S., we're a little bit better as well. What's behind the optimism?
Well, in the United States, we still see a lot of strong consumer demand. Retail sales mm-hmm. are highest, consumers are spending, and our economy here is about two-thirds of the U.S. economy is consumer-driven. So that's really driving the economy in the United States. Even we have inflation. But at the same time, personal incomes are still strong mm-hmm. and going up, so people can still afford things, even given other challenges that are still here.
How important is it for the organizations like the IMF and some of the economists that have been polled on these global forecasts to look at interest rates? I know the Federal Reserve has been talking about lowering its interest rate this year, and I think other countries will probably follow suit once that happens. Is that even still in the cards this year?
Absolutely, yes. And interesting that you mentioned it. Late 2023, early 2024, economists predicted the U.S. to start cutting interest rates and being ahead of that whole interest rate cutting cycle across the world. That has changed, given U.S. inflation being still pretty stubborn. The outlook now is that the U.S. will start cutting in September, possibly in November again. And as you know, we haven't seen any interest rates cuts yet. Today the Federal Reserve is meeting right now as we speak, so we will hear more about their view. But it is expected that they leave interest rates unchanged, and they hopefully give us a little more outlook on what interest rates might be doing later this year. But given inflation right now, it doesn't look like anything is imminent here. On the other hand, Europe, the Eurozone is now expected to cut interest rate as soon as early June. Mm-hmm. They actually had some inflation numbers lately that were more tame than here in the U.S. Their economy, the Eurozone economy, is not forecast to grow as fast. So you are probably going to see a European interest rate cut here fairly soon.
The IMF said there are a couple of different risks that are involved in this forecast. One is the situation with China. There's a little bit of weaker demand in China. And also the wars. We have a couple of different wars, including the Israel-Hamas war, that is of concern. Talk to us a little bit about the risks that are ahead.
Certainly, the war with Israel is certainly a global risk. And then, along that, you have other things going on in the Middle East with the transportation crisis in the Middle East, the rebels still attacking cargo ships. That's causing supply chains to be disruptive, and it takes longer to get products around to the destination where they need to go, and it costs more money, longer time. So those are all still global risks. From my currency perspective, again, I work mostly with currencies. The geopolitical situation with Israel and then Iran lately that got involved there is actually causing the dollar to stay strong, causing investments into the U.S., into U.S. assets, into bonds. So from that point, we are benefiting, you know, we are beneficiaries of these these inflows.
I want to focus a little bit more on that. The dollar index, the dollar spot index was up nearly 2% in just 1 week. The dollar's up against pretty much every currency. Talk to us about why that's so attractive to investors.
It's attractive to investors because our interest rates are higher relative to other countries. Investors are looking for higher yields, and they can find it in the United States, so they keep buying the dollars. And they're also looking for safety on where they're putting their funds. So in terms of geopolitical risks, the U.S. United States is a good place. Mm-hmm. It's still perceived we're the largest economy. We have a strong financial system. You know, it's believed to be safer to put funds than, let's say, for example, even in Mexico.
And for investors and companies that are doing business globally, it's also a benefit to them, too. Japan would be a good example of that, right?
Yes. I mean, for what Japan, it's an interesting situation. What we're seeing here, the Japanese yen is the lowest against the U.S. dollar in about 34 years. So that's pretty dramatic, which is good for the Japanese economy in a sense. It makes its products cheaper. So Japanese exporters are benefiting from that. And U.S. companies buying from Japan are seeing the benefit as they can source goods, products. A lot of machinery, technology comes from Japan at a lower cost.
So. Talk to us a little bit about the Mexican peso, the strongest against the U.S. dollar since 2015. Why?
The Mexican peso is really, as far as major currencies, the only currency that has been strengthening against the U.S. dollars, as you mentioned, you know, especially in the last 2 to 5 years. Reasons for that is, again, interest rate differentials. Mexico has higher interest rates than the United States. Benchmark interest rates, they are about 11%. Here we have around 5.5%. So that, from that perspective, Mexico offers high interest rates. People funnel money into Mexican peso and Mexican investments. Mexico also has been benefiting from nearshoring of U.S. companies all the supply chain issues we had during COVID. Companies in the U.S. have been rethinking where they want to source their products, where they want to put their operations, and been investing in Mexico, which has increased manufacturing capacity in Mexico, job creation, and all that contributes to a stronger currency as well. So, also on another side, given the strength of the U.S. economy, there's still strong high level incomes in the U.S. Income levels are still high, and we have a lot of Mexican nationals here in this country. They're sending remittances to families in Mexico. Has been strengthening the peso, also helping the economy there.
Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit more about nearshoring. You described it a little bit, but explain that a little bit more, what that means.
Nearshoring means that you want to keep your supply chains shorter, keep it closer to home, so to speak. Any products you source, input products for your company, if you're manufacturing something, you want to cut down on the transportation times, transportation costs, as well as manufacturing facilities, rather than putting them into China where they're far away, where we not so sure about all sorts of government regulations and similar things. Companies feel more comfortable putting factories and operations into Mexico and also in the United States, quite frankly. We've seen an uptick in the U.S. too. So U.S. manufacturing is still going strong as well. So that's nearshoring, basically moving equipment, moving labor, moving raw materials closer to home.
Yeah. We saw this during the COVID pandemic when we had the situation with supply chains. It's easier to get something from Mexico than it is from, let's say, Taiwan.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not that far away,
right.
And plus we have the trade agreement, the USMCA, so it's easier to clear customs, clear borders as well.
When you have conversations with clients, what advice do you give them about proceeding? How to proceed?
Well, I would tell everybody if you're in the global economy, if you're an importer or exporter of products, of goods or services, Keep yourself informed about the markets in the U.S., of course, about U.S. economic news, and as well as in the countries that you are doing business in. Take a look at the currencies, how the currencies develop, and be proactive on how you are managing the foreign exchange risks. Just don't take a chance. If you know you need to pay a bill, let's say in euros, in 6 months, you know now you need to pay it in 6 months, the currency can fluctuate, and there are tools to buy the currency now for future delivery. That's mm-hmm. called a forward contract, not to get too technical here. But a lot of my clients, our clients here at Associated Bank, that are buyers of products from Europe, especially, and from Japan, given the U.S. dollar strength against the Japanese yen, have been buying currency now to secure it for 5, 6, 10, 12 months down the road so they can plan and budget for that. So be proactive and keep your eyes and ears on the news.
So if you were to, if you had a crystal ball right now, what would you say would be the, both on the positive and the negative side, things happening this year that might impact your investors?
Oh, that's a challenge. We always say in foreign exchange, you know, we don't have crystal balls. Yeah. But I would say watch for U.S. interest rates cuts to come later this year. It's a challenge for companies that need financing. So I would just say hang in there. You know, the way it looks, it's going to be getting better.
How significant is the political climate? And we have not only the U.S., but a number of countries are having elections this year.
That's correct, yes, yeah. We have, I think, 60 elections going on this year. Yeah. India is currently going on, I think, for about 6 weeks for the elections to get done with the current prime minister, widely expected to be reinstated again. Political climate, what it adds to uncertainty, right, in the markets. It's uncertain in the markets to investors, to businesses. So we just kind of have to see how things play out.
Uncertainty is the last thing you want.
Exactly. We don't want uncertainty, you know. Yeah. That's why what I talk with my clients a lot is, you know, there's the uncertainty, not just, you know, about where interest rates are going, where you know, the situation in Israel, you have the political situation. If you have any products or services that you're buying right now or selling right now, be proactive about it and use some tools that you can secure the currency right now for future, for down the road later this year.
Angie, great conversation. How can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
They can get a hold of me at the trading desk, 866-524-8836, or by email, angie.kappel, K-A-P-P-E-L, at associatedbank.com.
Nice talking with you. We'll talk to you next time.
Thank you.